As you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith just as you were taught. Would you please be seated? Those words from Paul in Colossians 2 kick off this message series for us, Rooted in Christ. Now, I chose this teaching series for a reason. And it's not just because trees are fascinating. But when you think about it, they really are. Trees are fascinating. So much so that I have a metal tree that hangs on my wall in my office. And whether we're talking about a bald cypress, an evergreen, a maple, an apple, or a palm, trees are amazing. You could see the beauty of the leaves. You could touch and feel the bark. And you can eat the fruit that they produce. Yet when you go underground, that's where you find the most important part of a tree. There you find the roots, sprawling and hidden beneath the surface are roots. Roots that play an essential role in the life of that tree. Roots that anchor the trunk and branches. Roots that hold strong as the winter winds whirl or hurricane winds howl. Roots that store food produced by the tree. Roots are important, not only for trees, but for you and me. You see, our faith in Jesus has been planted by the work of the Holy Spirit. As you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, rooted in him, rooted and built up in him, God has planted faith in you. No one else. God has planted faith in you, and now his desire is for you to grow in him, to set down your roots in Christ. He wants each and every one of you to anchor yourself in his love as you carry out what he has in mind for you to do. We know that this is what God wants for us, right? So it's important that we take the time and think about where our roots truly are planted. Where is that faith? Where do those sprawling, twisting, hidden systems of beliefs, principles, and attitudes lie? So the question for you is, what do your roots anchor to? Don't answer. Do your roots anchor to the world and all it has to offer? Do your roots anchor to a person, to a place, to an ideology? If they do, what you will eventually see is there's a big difference. Because what the world has to offer, to put your roots into, is distinctly different than being rooted in Christ. When you anchor your roots in something other than Jesus, your roots become shallow and brittle and easily blown over as you set your mind on the things of man. Yet Paul continues on there in Colossians 2. He says, for in him, in Jesus, the whole fullness of the deity dwells bodily. And you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. you and I, we have fullness when our faith is rooted in Christ. True God, true man, Christ Jesus continues to fill us up with his life, his crucifixion and resurrection life. And he begins that filling at the roots. He begins with the beliefs and principles and attitudes that flow from your deepest identity as his forgiven and precious son and daughter. So this morning, we're going to spend our time rooting ourselves in faith in nobody other than Jesus Christ alone. Would you pray with me? Lord, so often we root ourselves in things of this world, in people, ideas, hopes, and dreams. But ultimately, we see that they fail. We pray, Lord, once again this day that you help us, by the power of your Holy Spirit, root deeper into you and the love that you have for us, your precious sons and daughters. That today may be another day where we start growing and trusting and understanding the love that you have for us that never fails as we root ourselves deeper in your Son, Jesus. Amen. Okay, so when we're talking about faith, sometimes we use different words to describe that faith. We might say, we trust the 911 operator. We trust that they're going to get the emergency services to the right address. Or we rely on the bank to have enough money in the ATM when we go through. Or how about this one? We believe that our closest friend will not betray a confidential conversation. So whether we're talking about faith, trusting, relying on, or believing, they all get this simple confidence out there that we have in someone or something. And as you all very well know, our faith can be misplaced. We put faith in another driver to stop at the red light. And then we're slamming on our brakes to avoid an accident. We believe that friend will keep the secret, but the looks we get at school or work tell us otherwise. We trust our money with a financial advisor, but suddenly the funds disappear. Yes, we can place our faith, our trust, our belief in the wrong thing or in the wrong person. Now faith in the right thing or the right person is not only important in our everyday lives, but even more so in your spiritual life. You see, when it comes to our relationship with God, we want to be sure that our faith will be right and not disastrous. We want to hold on to what will bring life eternal, not death. We want to trust what brings salvation, not damnation. The Apostle Paul writes there for us in the book of Romans, chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, just what will make for that right relationship with God for us to root in. That brings life and salvation. Let me read this for you again. Romans 1, verses 16 and 17. Paul writes, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, then also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." Paul confidently asserts that he is not ashamed of the gospel. He is not ashamed of Jesus, for it is the power of God for salvation. And so we have to remind ourselves once again what this gospel is. Paul starts off this letter here with this clear confession of this gospel truth. It begins with God's promises. At the very beginning, after Adam and Eve fell into sin, they heard of an offspring, that one of their descendants would come eventually and crush Satan's head. The prophet Isaiah speaks of a child who would be born one day, who would be the son given. He speaks of how the servant of God would suffer for his people. He'd be beaten and bloodied and bruised. And all the prophets, major and minor, they look forward to the day that this Messiah would come and bring salvation to all the world. And those promises came true in one person, in Jesus. God was faithful in sending his son to be born of the Virgin Mary, a descendant who could trace his family back through the history of the famous King David, all the way to Adam and Eve. God's faithfulness sent his son to death on a cross. Salvation came down to earth in Jesus, who faithfully came not to be served, but to serve. To the point of giving his life as a ransom for many. And then God's faithfulness was on full display that glorious resurrection morn. With power even over the grave, Jesus came out of that tomb. He crushed Satan's head, and still to this day is Lord of all. This is the gospel. The gospel is Jesus, and Paul is not ashamed to tell anyone and everyone that his faith is rooted in Jesus Christ. He roots himself in the truth that Jesus gives salvation to everyone who believes in him. Paul roots himself in the truth that Jesus alone grants life eternal. He is trusting in this relationship. No other relationship, no as another person, now as another thing. He's trusting in this relationship with his Savior, yours and mine, and that's the right relationship with God. You see, by faith alone, rooting in Christ brings the right relationship with God. Yes? Okay, some of us know this. Some of us are being reminded of this. This is good. But here's the thing. The temptation is to trust in someone else or something else beside Jesus. That's the reality. For each and every one of us, that's the reality. The temptation is to trust in something or someone else beside Jesus. And that's when the struggle comes. In our culture today, there are many people that have this happy optimism about how things will turn out in the end. You know, movies and books have these Hollywood endings. This often leads some to believe the same thing about their relationship with God. Some say hell doesn't exist, so everyone will end up in heaven anyway, so why worry about anything here? Some say as long as you try to do what's right, God will welcome you home. Well, of course, the really bad people like mass murderers and terrorists and rapists, they'll be left out. But everyone else is pretty much going to be okay. But can we really put our trust in this happy optimism of what God will do? Well, maybe others are tempted to place their faith in God grading on a curve. Does anybody remember that? Do they grade on curves every now and then? My daughter up here, my high schooler, is shaking her head. They do. I knew I always hoped for a curve because I felt like I was going to do better than most of my classmates, so I could still get that A or B, and I'd pass with no trouble. So I think sometimes people hope that God's going to grade on a curve as well. We know we're better than that person. We know that we're doing much better than our neighbor. I mean, we're not scamming people out of their money. We're not like those power-hungry, driven politicians, are we? We'd be in the upper half of the population in God's eyes, right? Or would we? But can we root ourselves in how good we think we are? Can we root ourselves in how good we really are in God's eyes? And does God really grade it on a curve? You see, what's going on here is we're starting to put our faith in something different than in Christ, in some popular belief about God or what we think God's word says. We're relying on how good we are instead of God and his faithfulness to us. Truth, don't do that. We don't want to do that. Now, I had a professor at the seminary in St. Louis that told us about his high school biology teacher. I love this. He had a simple way of giving grades. There was no curve. Teachers, take note, you might like this. You just had to show him what you knew, the professor said. On the final exam, he'd have 100 note cards with questions on them. And he told the students that they could pick as many of those questions, of those cards, as they wanted. And then take the test that way. You picked 10 cards and you get one wrong, you are at a 90%, which was a B. But the scary choice was to pick just one card. All or nothing. A or F. Get it right, you pass. Get it wrong, you fail. He said no one ever took just one card. But with our spiritual lives, that's the only option we have. Are we ready to take just one card? Because when it comes to our faith, when it comes to our relationship with God, that's finally what it comes down to. You can either answer Jesus, or you could put your faith in someone or something else. And then listen to how God grades that answer. Listen to how God grades that answer. He says there in Acts, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Listen to how God answers. Jesus says in John 14, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me, from God, through Christ, to me. Listen to how God answers. He said, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul said it in Romans 1:17. This good news, this gospel tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As Scripture says, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. Rooting ourselves in Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit means that we are not ashamed of the gospel. We are not afraid to stand in and on the true word of God. You see, no matter who is teaching this truth, we root ourselves in Christ. We put our faith in him alone. The great reformer, Martin Luther, he approached the last minutes of his life. And as he was in those last moments of his life, that he spent 30 years fighting for the truth of rooting in Christ Jesus alone. He was asked by his friend, Justice Jonas. He said, Luther, do you want to die standing firm on Christ? and the doctrine that you have taught? Luther answered emphatically, yes. He would not trust in anything or anyone else. He firmly rooted himself on the words of God. Our challenge today is to stand firm like Paul, like Luther, and root ourselves in Christ alone. And so that's my prayer, that starting right now, this moment, as the winds of life blow around you, you anchor deeper in Christ, seeking Him in His Word, absorbing His sacrificial love and mercy and grace for you down at the roots and letting it come up into your body. It's my prayer that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you're filled with this surpassing wisdom and truth and this passion for loving the lost, for joining Jesus on His mission. And finally, it's my prayer that in the days and weeks to come, you root yourselves deeper in Christ through worship, here at the church, in your small groups, in your missional communities, in your Bible studies, as He does the work in you. As He holds you through those howling winds and storms that will come. But as you anchor deeper, as your roots grow deeper and stronger in Him, in His words and truth and love, no matter what storms may come, you will be firmly planted forever in our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.